Oh God, you're going through, that's a dangerous thing, go through those closets.
Do not look in those bedside drawers. Don't do it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You're listening to episode 105 of Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith, that's my good self, and my good friend Morgan Richards, a.k.a. Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and we're helping you start the day from the right side of the bed and realise the time is now.
I see you went for a real old one here, the right side of the bed. It's a tune, though.
Yeah,
it's
it
a
is.
Classic tune. It's a fucking tune. Yes, if you haven't worked out from the puns or reading or seeing the artwork for this week's episode, this week's guest are the fantastic Brandon and Porter of Atreyu. And of course, Brandon, who was a former guest of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And we had Porter, who was a Sappening virgin. So yeah, what a great chat. Lovely boys, thank you very much to both of them for coming on. Thanks for Brandon for coming on again. Did you not learn? That's the question I put out there. And also, we talk everything Atreyu. We talk about the latest lineup, the album.
Well, there's a lot to cover with these guys. I mean, after 20 years of voicing a whole metalcore and rock and roll movement, Atreyu are stepping into a new era of the band. The new single, Save Us, is the first official release sporting their new lineup, with Brandon moving from drums to the frontman role, Kyle Rosa stepping in behind the kit, and Porter now taking care of the more heavy tones and screams. So we invited them both on to discuss the new dynamic, Alex's departure, working on a whole album worth of secret material, motivational moments from their last two decades on the road, two very touching experiences with Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell, life in lockdown, driving strip clubs, and of course, Sean, their time with your brother, Mr. J. Smith.
I can't get over it. He gets discussed so much all the time. It's fucking mental. Like, it was an absolutely brilliant chat. And yeah, for some reason, they really, really love my brother. And I know my brother really, really loves them as well. So, yeah, thanks again to the boys. We spoke about their streaming event, where one of them happened back last week, and one is happening next week as well. So
yeah, so the Carry the Fire is a two-night streaming event. Last week, Atreyu performed a collection of their greatest hits, and next week on Friday, December the 4th, the boys will be at it again, this time playing their iconic album, Lead Sails Paper Anchor, in full. Tickets to both these streams are available now at AtreyuMerch.com. That's AtreyuMerch.com. And you can catch up on the greatest hits, get ready for sales, and have a bloody good time. Hey, it's something to do, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. Definitely go check it out. Big fan of Atreyu. I've been for years. And just fucking so nice just to meet these people and then be absolutely fucking tidy.
Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely chat. There's even a part during this discussion where we all applaud a really moving, moving moment from Porter. And if we're on about applauding, we've got to say a massive thank you to everyone who sent us a message in regard to our second anniversary of Septon Podcast last week. If you haven't already, go back and check out our special celebrations episode with Charlie Simpson. But it's been absolutely heartwarming to see everyone's reaction and motivation and everything over the last 7 days. So thank you again. If you want to give us a follow on our social media pages, you can at Sapnin Pod. Sean, how would you spell that?
At SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD.
Give us a follow, give us a like on Twitter and Instagram, and tell us your favourite moments about us talking to some absolute superstars over the last 2 years. And again, a massive thank you to our wonderful Patreon community who had a special Zoom celebration with us. And it got a bit carried away again, but we love those bastards. We wouldn't be able to get here if it wasn't for their support. So if you've enjoyed anything from the last 2 years, head over to patreon.com/sapnin to get involved, receive loads of bonus content on the wall and everything else in between.
Yes, thank you very much to all of our patrons. You are absolute superstars. Last year's second year anniversary was a good celebration. The Zoom party we had with everyone was quite fun. I particularly like it when three of the boys took it on themselves to become football score announcers and would cut in the conversation every now and again with and now we go live to Andrew Keach. Over to Andrew Keach, and you go, oh, thanks Sean. Jack Grealish is here and he's about to take a free kick, and it was hilarious. So it was super nice to see everyone. If I missed anyone, I'm so sorry. Oh, here's a tidbit that probably nobody knows. During our Zoom, I had a knock on the door to find out that I possibly had come into contact with somebody who had coronavirus.
Oh.
Yeah, so yeah, I carried on with the Zoom, finished the Zoom, and then went and got tested Monday in Merthyr Tydfil, and it came back negative.
Yay! So,
everyone, don't worry about the test. It's not hard. Basically, I had to queue for 20 minutes. Then I went in. A man hands you a swab. Like a medieval knight. Ooh. And then you take it and you rub it in the back of your throat for 5 seconds on both sides, and then with that same end, then you chuck that end up your nose. So I had to twist that up my nose. I sneezed everywhere. I probably made Merthyr more contaminated, but half an hour later, I had my results said negative. So cool. I am currently corona negative.
Well, congratulations, Sean. I'm very, very glad to hear that.
Thanks, guys. If you don't want to contract coronavirus, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/sapnin, where we don't have the cure.
Yes, perfect. Why don't we just get into this wonderful conversation now with Porter and Brandon from Atreyu. They're going to give you all the information about what's going on with the band, some secrets and good laughs in between.
Yes, go.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin!
Yes!
This week's guest on Sapnin Podcast are the fantastic Brandon and Porter from the brilliant Atreyu. Yes. How are you guys?
Better now that you described us as brilliant.
Yes!
Yeah. Feel great.
Doing fantastic. How about y'all?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, yeah, thank you.
We're all right. Like, stuck at home. We're in a lockdown at the moment.
You guys are back on, like, full...
Yeah, well, Wales... next door, obviously, to England. I have to explain because there might be some American listeners to this who don't understand.
I'm part Welsh, so you know.
Oh, no, I know that. I know you can speak a good bit of German as well. We'll come to that.
But
us being next door, we went into lockdown like 2 weeks ago, and England's going into lockdown today or something like that, I think, for 4 weeks. So we're kind of coming out of the lockdown, but I don't think we will. I think we'll just probably go back into it, but...
One of our rules is that 30 people or more can meet up in a field. I don't know why you'd meet up in a field in November, but you can.
Yeah. Hey, if you got a party, you got a party. You know what I'm saying?
Is that a Gaelic thing?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's awesome.
How are you guys? How are you guys coping? How is COVID treating you guys?
How's things over there?
It's horrible, but I mean, we're making do at this point. I think that we could both agree, me and Porter alike, that our country is miserably failing this whole thing, and sort of different parts of the country are open in different ways, and where I live, people are idiots, unfortunately, and are not paying attention.
Oh, snap.
Yeah,
and, same here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we're just doing what we can do. I mean, we wear masks in public. Our circle of people that we come in contact with is pretty small, and we do what we can. And I mean, I think we're both just wanting everything to go good so that it's like when you have like a really shithead sibling that keeps getting you both in trouble. And you're like, but if you just stop, then we can both go out and play, please. Like, this can end and we can both have fun. Like, it's just a lot of people.
I spent the first few months of this lockdown while we were working on the album in California at my sister's house in about 30 minutes from Brandon in like full lockdown. Like, we were above and beyond every protocol that even was a rumor, just being so safe and careful. And then we finished the album and my wife and I drove. I live in Southern Alabama on 150 acres in pretty much the middle of nowhere. So that's what I've been doing. And it's kind of like, I'm a very introverted person, as much as I enjoy being on a stage and touring and doing that world. And I spend a lot of time, you know, doing meditation and artwork and that sort of stuff. So this time has been wonderful in a way to let me be able to slow down, to recharge, you know what I mean? And obviously, like, if I could trade my own, you know, moments of connection for everyone else's well-being and the lives be reversed back to this planet, then I would take that. But I'm trying to make lemons out of lemonade here. And it's been enjoyable. Like, the times that I've come to California to work on a video or for us to rehearse for this live stream we're going to do, I've been driving cross country because I don't feel safe flying yet. I'm staying with my sister. This is her den. This is not my garlic lady on the wall.
I wish it was.
So like they are very strict about it and I have to respect their place in my house. You know, my family as well, like we're dealing with some sickness in the family. So I have to be strict as well. So I'm trying to, you know, make the best out of it. I've been driving cross country, going through places and visiting friends that are also very intelligent about their actions and very respectful of the situation. Hiked in Sedona recently, went through the mountains and meditated by a river. And so we're making the best out of it, man. We made an album during it. So that's pretty cool. You know, we're going to do some cool things for our fans. And
yeah, we've definitely been making the most, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Nice. I was going to say, yeah. Cause otherwise The other option is we never had this virus, and then you poor souls might have been in the UK with my brother. So
I'll look at that as a positive. I can't wait to
I would love
he's pretty much solidified he's right pretty now. Much solidified himself in the with a position in on the Atreyu camp anytime we come internet. Just from one fateful summer.
Even if he gets more famous in the racing circuit and just completely abandons the merch world completely, he's always welcome with us. Yeah. He's fucking incredible.
Yeah, I've had longer with him, I think. So I've had, I'm a little, you know.
Oh, yeah, give us two more tours.
You know too much.
Yeah, yeah, you probably had tops 2 months of him to, you know, straight day to day.
It's like 3 weeks.
I've had 33 years of the bastard. So, yeah, you know, it can get a bit sick. Yeah. It's like too much sugar. It can get a bit sickening after a while.
I don't think he even ran out of track suits in 2 weeks. So, you know, we're still...
We were about 3 weeks, and it took about 5 days to stop going, what's up with this dude? This dude's cool.
Well, let's go into that a little bit. I mean, what is life like on the road with Jay Smith? I mean, is it just tracksuits and jokes?
Why are we talking? Why are we talking to the brilliant Atreyu about my div of a brother? We should be asking them, right? We should be going, I'm so sorry that you've come across him, and hopefully it won't happen again. But as you said, you guys are considerably happy with him, but I think we've all got stupid stories about Jay.
Only in 3 weeks we've got at least a couple, so it's good.
Oh, come on, please. let's have at least one.
He'd always sleep in his clothes, which was weird. He'd always get into his bunk fully clothed.
True.
And then he had like special track suits for the big shows, like his gold track suit he wore for Rock'em Ring Rock'em Park. I wanted to make sure he was tip-top.
Nice.
My wife's little brother was starstruck by him because they love MotoGP, the whole family. They've watched it. And my wife told him, like, you know, we have this guy. He races sometimes, you know, Jay Smith. And she's like, what the fuck? And so he came to one of the shows and was just like, hey, like all nervous.
Right now he's in his bunk with all his clothes on.
I was funnily enough, we're currently recording this and I'm in Jay's room. Jay's not here. But yeah, I found a pair of Adidas. You're not going to believe this. Adidas denim trousers.
If someone's going to have them, it's going to be him.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, if anyone's going to have it, it's going to be our psychopath.
Did he just sew the logo on?
No, I think what it was.
Normal pair?
No, what it was when... with my old band, we toured Germany quite a bit, and there was a girl from Adidas there who would give us like samples of stuff. So we had like loads of funky, so like some of those tracksuits with the funky patterns probably came from her. But then she would turn up with these things and be like, oh yeah, here's these things that Adidas are never gonna make. And then we're like, yeah, fucking denim jogging bottoms. I can see why. Who the fuck? What's the practical use of a denim jogging bottom?
That's a great band.
Well, how are you going to jog in denim?
That's a great
at all?
Band name. Denim jogger bottoms.
It's a ska band. A ska band.
Right. For sure.
Right. If you guys get on Slam Dunk next year, and my band's on Slam Dunks next year, we're meeting together and we're doing an impromptu set of the denim jogging bottoms.
We'll refer to ourselves as a super duper group.
Yeah, and Jay is our hype guy.
Exactly.
Oh, Jake Affronte.
He does this all the time, but he has a microphone for it.
Pick it up. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Anyway, let's get off Jay now.
What a start. But I mean, besides from that, I mean, guys, obviously, it's been such a busy time behind the scenes for you lately. I think from an outsider looking in, it seems that there's been so much news right now. Working on new music, you've just released a new single in Save Us, and there's been a lot of kind of movements within the lineup, within the band. Brandon, you now taking full role as vocals, Porter having a little bit more of the backing and heavier screams. How has it been having those changes and seeing fans react to a new era of the band now?
I think obviously everything we're going through is a humongous shift for us as well as our fans. I think a lot of times sometimes fans don't realize how big of a shift it is for us also. It's not just like a flagrant, like, let's do this, I guess. So for us, I mean, once the shift happened and we kind of realized how we were going to go about, you know, I'll call it 2.0 of Atreyu, we kind of just got to work and it got really, we got really excited in the studio. Cause I think a lot of that was going really well. We had written some more songs and really kind of like showcased the new vocal approach with myself and Porter heavily involved as well. Like, and I think something that was really important to us was, and it's something that, that Porter brought up quite a bit was the dynamic of a multi vocal thing in our band has always been something that's been really important. And we wanted to make sure we kind of retained that. So I think the first bit in the studio got us really excited. And then, you know, obviously we've been sitting on this music for a fucking minute because you can't, there's lots of steps that have to happen. And obviously we're in a pandemic. And so we've been, had a pretty much done, finished record for a while now. So now that people get to finally hear it, it's like that scary moment, but we've been getting such positive kind of feedback that it feels really, really good and validating. And it just makes us even more excited for the future. Like this live stream thing is like, I think the coolest thing that's happening in our lives. Cause we're just fucking so excited to like, we get in a room and practice and we have so much fun doing it. And then we like, we've been rehearsing more than we ever fucking have. And then like, we just want to be like under lights and like feel our music and just show that to people. So it's overall, I think just overarching excitement at this point.
Yeah. I think the coolest responses that I've seen to everything that's happened with the shift is how our fans in, I would say the majority have been like, oh, well, this is a bummer, but I'm going to support both of you now. And I have two arms of this to support. And I love your band. So I'm going to support you and I'm going to support him as well. And that's what we want. Yeah. You know, like I love that overwhelming support for both parties involved. Like we want nothing but the best, you know, that being said, we're really fucking excited for this next round. And we are here to prove ourselves again. You know, we have it. Are these songs sound amazing? We sound amazing as a band and we're just really fucking excited for this future.
Nice. Is everybody okay and on speaking terms or, what's the situation? Are you,
there's obviously, we'll call it a breakup. You know what I mean? Like there's obviously a separation. So I think that that's something that, in our hopes, the future will heal and everything. But the five of us in the current situation are tighter than ever. This is a normal thing, but it felt good the other night. Like we went out to celebrate Dan's nuptials last week and we can't have a bachelor party because unfortunately strip clubs are not open during COVID. But
I think it's fortunately personal.
I heard about the drive.
Normally,
some states have drive-through. You said Porter.
Where, but I saw it on the internet. Like midsummer, I saw people, they started opening up drive-through strip clubs. So it's like you go down a tunnel. There's a stage on each side with poles, and there's ladies doing their thing, and you just drive through.
Surely driving through that would constantly sound like the beginning of Jump Around by House of Pain with the arses just on the windows. Yeah. As their arses like on the window. You're like, get off the car! My missus going to use this car.
I thought this was a Starbucks.
I'll have a double cheese and a chicken mayo. No!
America, for all its turmoil at the moment, we did invent drive-through strip clubs, exactly. So that's cool.
I can't believe that.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's blown my mind.
Most countries are looking for vaccines or ways to collect. You guys are like, how can we get more boobs
around this?
But yeah. Closer to
how
us.
How can the flesh hit the pole? Yeah.
But
take that however you will.
Circling back.
Yeah. Yes.
The other night we went to dinner because that's what we can do. And the five of us had like a 4-hour meal that was just hysterics and laughter and stories and we just, it feels fantastic. So I'll say the five of us
My first meal since March.
He's been fasting since March.
I haven't eaten. See, doesn't it tell? I look good, right?
I was going to say, that's a long time.
Just drinking yerba mate kombucha.
Yeah. I was wondering what that rumbling was in the background. Is your stomach? Yeah. You're starving, Gavin?
My bad.
Get into one of those drive-through strip burger places.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you mentioned being in the studio, and of course Save Us is out now. Bang in, boys. Absolutely thank awesome. You. Love
very,
it.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Was it with John Feldman that you did this?
Yeah, we did the whole what will be the whole next thing with John Feldman.
Yeah, it's our third album with him too. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, we had him on a couple of episodes ago. Yeah, he was awesome. Very hyped up. It's that coffee. He likes his coffee.
He's got an energy for sure.
That's just his baseline as well. Like he's just that way.
He wakes up like that.
Just a caffeinated whirlwind.
You know how like you see there's like old Dracula movies where like Dracula just like comes out of the grave like stiff as a board? That's how John wakes up in the morning.
The Undertaker for coffee.
Yeah straight up.
Brilliant. How many songs? How many tracks did you record with John?
A lot. We did a lot. It's still up in the air what's going to end up on what and how many is going to be what. But we've recorded a lot of fucking songs. We did like 16.
It was like 17 or 18.
Yes.
16, 17.
Well, we did like 16 back in January. And then we did 4 more. And then I think like maybe 16 or 17 of those made it to the final list of songs that we love. So yeah, we're
17 songs.
Fuck. We have a lot of shit. We have a lot of music to do something.
I think that's the thing about when you work with John, like if he doesn't kick you out of his house and his studio,
just keep going.
You'll just keep writing songs. Mm-hmm. Like we could go in tomorrow and write another 12 songs in, you know, a couple days. But it's insane how like creative a space he makes for you and how you get there and you're just like, I feel the caffeine in the air and you just go, you know?
Yeah. Do you have many people turning up? Because, we've had a couple of people on lately who've recorded with him as well and said they were in the studio with him. And then obviously Travis, I'll never leave John alone, Barker turns up. And then, he was just on about like, he had a band called The Hunter in and the singer from The Hunter was there and all of a sudden he was like, oh, here's my friend Pete. And then he just had Pete Wentz keep turning up and stuff. I was just wondering if that's like a recurring thing.
Machine Gun Kelly showed up.
Oh, what?
One day out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
And he was fresh off the streets of LA riots. Like he just came from the riots and was there with all the like cop cars were lit on fire. And he was like, yo, I was standing right there. There was not a cop car. And then all of a sudden there was a cop car. And we were like, what is this movie ass cop car doing here with like these old ass tags on it? And then we saw someone messing with it and then it was on fire and none of us did it. And we're like,
but they did that. Yeah, they came in like mid session and did that, Rage Against the Machine cover that him and Travis did. Unbeknownst to the world, our Travis Miguel played all the guitar on that song.
Nice.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, there we were just kind of in the studio that day. But yeah, other than that, I mean, Travis is a decently reoccurring stop by. He just kind of like cruises in and like says hey and then leaves. But yeah, there's always less than usual people just like hanging around John's right now. But like he didn't even have his full like, for a lot of the stuff, we didn't even have like the full like his staff. You know, he was like his main engineer and like another dude, so it's not as like people coming through like usual, but there's always you're always gonna see someone rant
for obvious contamination purposes.
Yeah. But obviously talking about the shift, and you mentioned the Treo 2.0 earlier, I mean in some aspects, because you've been a band for over 20 years, is all this kind of change quite refreshing in many ways? Does it feel like it's a new energy with everything going on?
Does. I mean, to me, it very much does. I mean, being a band for so long, I would say almost no bands are granted the insane opportunity to like get a whole new big, huge bag of inspiration and hunger handed to them. Like, I feel like complacency is the killer of art. And I feel like having this shift and having to, like Porter said earlier, almost reprove ourselves and have like something new to like represent, it takes all that away. You know what I mean? And it brings you back to that youthful place. And I said this a lot when I was doing my other band, Hell or High Water, that it's like this like invigorating new energy that you only feel when you're like young and starting. And obviously we have decades of history behind the band and like an insanely massive and incredible fan base, but it's like to us, it's like, we have to make sure that they're all on board. And like, we have to make sure that we're showing them like what we're working with now, you know? So it's like, it's invigorating. It's the only way I can say it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, Porter, you mentioned earlier that you were a bit, what's the word? Not shy, but a bit quiet. Yeah, introverted. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Brandon. You are hired. Morgan, you are fired.
He's
in. Well done. Yes, that's it.
Does that mean I get to front the trailer instead now?
If you want, yeah.
They don't want that. I tell
we're
you
still
what,
figuring it out. We might as well just try it.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll take one for the team for a trio's sake, right? And I'll keep Morgan because otherwise,
kind of you.
Yeah, nobody wants that. He'd be a dreadful front man.
We'll remember that one day when this thing works really well.
Yeah. Porter, you mentioned earlier you're a bit of an introvert and stuff. So yeah, how are you finding the new screamy, backy role?
Okay, well, I'm introverted to an extent. You know, like, I prefer the time alone, and I need more time alone to recharge. That being said, like, the last band I was in before Atreyu, I mean, this was 16 years ago, I was the front man. You know, we had four singers, and I was in the front. Bands before that, I've been the front man. And, you know, like, I write a lot of lyrics, I write a lot of vocal parts, and I have in all those other bands, but I never really did for this because, you know, in 2004, I was stepping into this band where it was like, okay, we have this guy who writes all the lyrics and does all the screaming, and we have this guy who does all the singing. And I'm like, I can do both and all those things. Okay. All right. So like, over time, like you'll hear there's moments where I've written this melody, or I've written, you know, suggested this lyric line, like the falling down lyric line was my idea, you know, like the main like pre-chorus and chorus things. Like there's moments where I've like supplemented when needed. So when this new shift started to happen, like I'm more than capable to just step up and be like, all right, this is my thing now. Here's a bunch of lyrics. Brandon and I are like, I have this idea for this part. He's like, oh, that's awesome. Let's do this too. I'm like, great. And he's like, I got this idea. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Let me try it. And like, you know, we sit there and we brainstorm all the lyrics, like Dan shooting up lyric ideas, like Travis as well. Like we're all five singing on songs. Like it's like Brandon said, it's just it's like a shot of, I don't know, what do they give horses to win races? You know, that we just got
horse juice.
By just, you know, yeah, we got ketamine horse juice. All natural.
I feel like Porter is modest also. Like, I think what a lot of people don't fully understand also is that I think Porter really made his vocal debut subtly on Death Grip, but then like there's like one part that you really hear Porter by himself on Lead Sails in what's the fucking song? Lose It?
Yeah.
In the bridge.
The bridge of that.
That's just Porter.
I completely forgot about it until we were rehearsing.
Yeah. And then, but like what people don't understand is that Porter's been all over our records since Death Grip. Like a lot of doubling, a lot of like layering, just cause like his voice is fucking ripping. And even on this album too, like, he stepped the fuck up into a lyric role, even from the beginning, like the Save Us chorus is his idea. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of like rad stuff going on. And like you said, like we're all really like diving in, and you know, everyone in the band sings on this album. Even Kyle, our new drummer, who wasn't a part of the recording process, sings harmonies on Save Us just cause it was like, he can. So let's throw the voice on there, you know, like, so it's definitely cool.
Nice. Yeah. Cause Brandon, one of the things I wanted to talk about with you particularly is the fact that obviously with you swapping roles, is it quite weird in a way to kind of give up being behind the kit, having Kyle now in the band? I mean, obviously you've known him for many years, being part of other projects in the past that you've worked on, but I mean, how has it been for you kind of being behind the kit for so long and now not necessarily being involved that end?
It's definitely a different, I mean, obviously I've fronted my other band and I fronted this band last summer in Europe, but it was definitely a whole new energy to get used to. It's a completely different.
Don't be coy.
I don't miss it at all, but I think like, adjusting to being up front surrounded by these dudes is an awesome but different thing to get used to. But I think the main thing for me was that if I was going to sort of relinquish the drumming, it had to be someone with whom I completely had faith in and wasn't going to worry about. Because the last thing I want to do is just like worry about what the drummer is doing and be like, well, that's not what I did. And like, fuck, like, oh, that's not, you know what I mean? So when Kyle came on board, it was like, okay, there's some stuff that's like written in history that like you have to play. Like you can't just like play the intro to Right Side of the Bed however you feel like it. Like that one's got to be how it is. Or, you know, like there's certain things where it's like, they're necessary. I'm like, but like, take liberties, make it you. Every fill doesn't have to be the exact same. Everything doesn't have to be the exact same. And he's already adding his feel and his like pocket into our band. And for me, I don't even think about it. Like, all I think about is like at the end of rehearsal of like when we were first starting to rehearse, it was like, you know, three or four rehearsals in and where it was like, he's locking in. And all I could really say was like, you're fucking killing it. That was great. Today was awesome. Noticeably great. And like from there, I just don't have to worry about it. And that's the only way that this could have existed. Because if I just had to like nitpick and micromanage, which is very much in my nature, it would have just been horrific for me and not fun. Hmm. So it's just, I just can just forget about it.
Yeah.
I think what I've noticed, first off, Brandon was set behind the drums for some reason the other day at rehearsal, and I just looked at him like,
"What are you doing?"
So my point in saying that is it feels very natural to have him up front now. And Kyle, like, you know, we're rehearsing, and I just completely forget anything is even different. And then I look over, I'm like, "Oh, cool, Kyle." And then I start to notice, like, again, I'm like, I'll get back into the groove of the song, and I'm like, "Wait, like." Brandon has a very particular style of drums and he's very talented and he beats the absolute life out of those drums. It's crazy. And Kyle hits hard as well, but he has this groove that Brandon would have sometimes, but it's a different person playing it, you know? And I think he's added this other element that we didn't necessarily have before. And Brandon, no way, shape or form saying you're a bad drummer. You're fucking awesome. And I do miss many aspects of you as well. But it's just having you then up front, having that like presence, that big boisterous presence is very good for us as well. And so I don't know, man, it's exciting. Like we did some shows with Jay, like we started this conversation with last summer, and we kind of got thrown into the situation and Kyle came in, learned the songs, and Slam Dunk was our first time really ever. Yeah, like literally like 2 days. We had one rehearsal together in York and everything went wrong. And we played 7 songs or something, not even. And so Slam Dunk was that first one and it was just like, fuck, this is awesome. This energy is something we've never felt before because we've never had this makeup, you know? We've never had, like, I remember just like whatever the first song is, let's just say Doomsday for, you know, the story's sake, and we're playing it and all of a sudden I'm like singing and playing and this freight train sprints by and I'm like, what the fuck was it? I genuinely got startled and it's just this guy. You know what I mean? Nice. it's a fun new way of existing after so many years of you know, the old lineup.
I think a perfect way to explain the difference in mine and Kyle's drumming is my drumming is like the old wrestlers, the Bushwhackers coming into the ring.
It's true.
Kyle's just imagine Chino Moreno on stage.
That's perfect.
I haven't heard this described.
That's
just
wow. Amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. It.
That's it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Brandon, I think you've gone the wrong way about being a frontman, because what I found being a frontman is
it's better if you don't wear pants.
Well, obviously. Well, that's the case for anything. Yeah. But also with being a frontman is you do it early on because you don't have to ever carry or touch any drums.
Yeah.
But what you've done is you've gone the full wrong way about it. You went, I want to carry drums and eventually be the singer now.
I don't think I when I started playing drums, I didn't think about the fact that I would have to touch them. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Literally the other day, like we were like packing up or something for our music videos. And like Kyle was tearing down the drums and I went to like go grab drums and like jokingly I was like, oh wait, what am I doing? I don't want
to. Oh God, I'm no. Fucking, oh God.
Not touching those. Ew.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, so good.
That's the thing, though. I mean, you just get to spend, when tours eventually come back, you're first one straight on the bus, straight in the shower. You don't have to pack down.
Yeah, I might actually stay the whole time. You know, I might just like watch, you know, help the guys load out, you know? Watch
what?
The whole, yeah, I might there's just
no
watch. Such,
there's no front man ever admitting to helping a button. Yeah.
Yeah.
No
hey, guys. Way. Hey, guys. Great job.
Yeah. Oh, great.
But while we're kind of reminiscing about some of the band's history, let's dive back into your journey over this past 20-odd years. I mean, in that time, Atreyu has kind of had influences for loads of different subgenres of, you know, metalcore to everything else in between. But what do you guys really see the band is today? I mean, what in the book of Atreyu, what chapter would you say you're at now?
I don't know. I feel like we've never, any genre or like label that's ever been put on our band has always been someone else doing it, which every band is like, man, you can't like tie us down in a corner. Like, I get it. It's a fucking cliche. But at the same time, we've always sort of prided ourselves on just a band that just has done whatever the fuck we felt. I think that started in a heavier, more like metal way, but like, it still exists. Like, I don't think people fully understand what our next album is going to sound like. I think people expect us to like write pop records because we have songs like The Time Is Now or Falling Down or Becoming the Bull. But at the same time, that's Atreyu. Like, Atreyu is a beast of a hard rock band with some metal, with some punk, and with some pop. I think that was like the only thing we focused on at the beginning of like starting to write new music. And was that like, we just take all the shit that we do and turn them up to 11. Like, the heavy is the heaviest it's been. The metal is the most metal. The pop is like unabashedly just pop. Like, I don't think people are going to expect what they hear, because especially with me coming up front and being the lead vocal, people are going to expect us to be singing all the time, but like, Porter screams a fuckload and I scream a fuckload on this new record. And it's like, there's like some of the most heavy songs we've ever written. Save Us, I think, is one of the heaviest riffs we've ever written. And I know that's a fact because I have not seen one person listen to it without going like this.
Exactly.
Proven. That's a proven fact. It's like if someone eats food and is like, like, that's a thing. Like, so I think we're still the same old Atreyu that everyone has grown to know and love. It's just like an amplified version of such.
I think with every new album, we always go through this ringer of fans of our first two records that expect us to just rewrite that album. It's like, have you listened to us for the last like 15 years, dude? Like, we've always shifted and done whatever we wanted to. We've written songs like The Theft amongst Death Grip. And you're like, oh, my favorite song is X's and O's. And then you call us pussies for writing The Time Is Now. It's like, have you listened to X's and O's? The song's not heavy.
That's not
like,
heavy at all.
We're not trying to be a heavy band. We're not trying to be anything but Atreyu,
exactly.
Which will vary from song to song, as it always has. And every record will take you on a journey. And it's a true reflection of ourselves as artists and creators. And like, we listen to every type of music. Like, I was raised on Paul Simon and Willie Nelson. You know, like, you love fucking Tom Petty and all these other things. Dan clearly loves 80s metal. Like, we're gonna be all over the place on this record, as we have been since almost our inception. I'm speaking from my time since Death Grip. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
I think that people always do. Like, I saw like a reaction video to Save Us, and it was like, I guess I was just wanting X's and O's, expecting X's and O's. It's like, I guess I was expecting a song that they wrote like 15 years ago and have released several albums since then that sound more like this. But I think that section of people is very, minute at this point. People just want to fucking rock, man, and party, and we're that band for you, bro.
Yeah. Now, more than ever,
that actually answers your question, long story long. So where's the trade right now? We're just a band that wants to help you rock out and party, man.
We shouldn't have done anything else in the podcast. We should have gone, something. Hi, yeah, right, how's things? Hey. We're just a band that just wants to rock and party. Whoa.
We're just a band.
We can leave in the drive-thru strip club part.
I won't edit that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stop in. Yeah, we just want to rock and party. Anyway, we're off. Bye. What? Yeah. This is the world's shortest podcast. Was there any... you mentioned different things and different songs or whatever. Was there any of John's crazy recording techniques come out in this? Is there any... backwards bicycle sounds? Is there any?
He always goes, I have a story. One of the songs, he's always like this. He goes into like production mode where he kind of just puts his head down and starts working, and you learn to not interrupt that, because you need to just let it come to fruition to be like, that's fucking cool. And a lot of times, like Lead Sales, each song we went to go mix that record probably had about 30 tracks that ended up coming out. But like, it's all in there because there's goodness. You just have to like dissect the goodness and make sure, see what works. But he's got a lot more focus with that. But there's on this specific session, he started doing this sound, whatever, and he opens this plugin, and I was like, I don't like that. And he looks over.
This was like 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
You could just see Brandon like,
I was like, and he finally
looking at us like,
yeah, he pulls up this sound and he like plays the sound that's going. And I'm like, I don't think I like that. And he looks at me and he clicks the plugin that he just opened and it changes the sound completely. And I go, I like that. Within a second, like, I don't like that. I do like that. But yeah, he's a genius, man. Like, not only his energy that he provides, but his talent, his writing talent, his just knowledge is insane. But his production is just, what goes on in his brain is magnificent.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, like, I know, like, we've spoken to so many people who've recorded with him, and everyone's got like a crazy story about how he wanted to do something insane in a tunnel, or pedaled a bike backwards and then used it as a verse.
He told us he once recorded underwater, and I'm still confused as into how that can happen.
I don't know. He's John Feldman. That's how.
we learned on Lead Sales, like, we were a lot younger and a lot more like, we know what we're doing. This is how we're a metal band. And we learned during that process to trust him and to like get to this experience. Like Brandon just described, where you're just like, he's going to make cool shit. You'd always have to say yes to it, but at least let him try it, because you never know what that'll spark in your own brain. And he does such a fantastic job of harboring and harnessing and creating this environment for you to be the best version of you, which is, believe me, not every producer does that. Not every engineer does that. And I have felt comfortable and welcome in every time I've ever worked with him. And other albums, not so much. They just want you in and out the door. They don't give a shit about you. John Feldman cares. His people care. And it's, you can hear it in our songs, and you can hear it in our, you know, it enhances us as a band outside of just recording an album with him, which is, I don't know, fucking special.
Nice. That's very beautiful to you.
Yeah, really. That's awesome. Really, really nice. But having like kind of time to reflect on a lot more things now with everything going on over the last two decades, I mean, is there any moments that really stick out to you that you've been just blown away by when you think back of what the band's actually managed to achieve, of like any tours or meeting some musical heroes or just experiences in general that you just, when you have time to sit back and think, that you're always kind of blown away by?
I think I have a lot of those.
I mean, how much time do we have?
We've been very fortunate to where, like, I would say about 98% of our entire career has just been this sort of like gradual slow uptick, you know? And it's just been this like gradual growth. And we're very, very fortunate to not have had very many moments of just like, fucking shattering, you know, like nobody fucking cares. Like, bands go through that and it's normal, but we've had like I think one album that like was like we were like, oh fuck, does it even care anymore? But then you look at the numbers and they're still fine. You know, it was just us. I think we continually have those opportunities. I think are those moments. Like every time we're with Feldman, it's one of those moments. We've done tours with fucking every musical hero from fucking Linkin Park to Chris Cornell to Iron Maiden to like fucking everyone. Like we've gotten to play shows. We are a freaking short-haired pretty boy freaking hard rock band from Orange County, California, and we got to open for Iron Maiden in stadiums in Mexico. What? Like shit like that, you know what I mean? Like we got to like play a tour with Linkin Park and like on multiple occasions, like Chester or Shinoda or like multiple dudes from that band were like watching our show. Same tour, fucking Chris Cornell wore one of our shirts on stage. And you're like, what the fuck? We dropped merch off.
Dude, I was eating alone in catering day two of that tour with Linkin Park. We're on side stage. We think no one gives a shit. And I'm sitting there.
Hey, bro, we're headlining side stage. We're headlining side stage.
So I'm sitting there, you know, hanging out. Chester sits down in front of me. He goes, hey, Mark, just wanted to say, like, you guys were fucking awesome today. Like, I'm really happy you're on this tour. I was really impressed by that. And I'm like, I don't care if his PA looked on the little book and told him my name. Who cares? He took the moment to do that. And that's just like that's was so inspirational for me. And that has made me want to be that for our fans and the people that we tour with, especially like there's so many one-off moments that I could list that are wonderful milestones in our career. But I will say that the pause that we took from the end of 2010 until when we came back for Long Live was huge for us as a band and as humans separately as well. And we had some rough years towards the end of that. And with, I would say 2009, 2010, a lot of us weren't showing up every night, giving our all. I wouldn't say we were bad. And I wouldn't say it was at the same time. Most people wouldn't even notice, but me personally, I know that like I wasn't giving my all every night. Or not every night, but some nights. And I wasn't being the best version of who I could be. And that time away, when we played our first show back at Chain Reaction in September 11th, 2014, I think it was. It's a pretty memorable day. And so when I stood up on that stage again, I was like, do I even miss this? Do I even want to do this again? Like I said, I'm introverted. I wasn't, you know, those 3 years off. I wasn't like, man, I wish I could get on stage again. And then I did, and I got up there and I was like, fuck, like this interchange between you, your band, and these people that are wonderful enough to give you the time of day, not to mention pay to come and see you, that like tidal wave of love and interchange is something that I will never take for granted again. And I haven't since. Like every single show I've played since that moment, I've given my all to every single, I've tried to lock eyes with all, you know, 200 or 60,000 of them. Like I want to be present and there for them because what else is the point? And especially for the other four people on our stage, like I owe it to my band and myself and our fans to be there every moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, it feels pretty fucking awesome, man. So every show since 2014.
That was beautifully said. Honestly,
that was very beautiful.
It's true though.
I was choking up a little bit.
It's true,
but didn't show.
It's fucking true. It's straight up true. You have to. I feel like you have to do that in a band. You don't deserve to be here if you don't give that.
Yeah. Well. Have you had any interactions? Oh no. That kills the mood. I was going to go with interactions with dickheads, but don't worry about it. It's fine. But well, yeah.
I would like to ask a bit more about Chris Cornell because I was such a huge fan of his, never got to see him live at all and stuff. But what was it like touring with him and getting to meet him and getting to know him a bit more?
So I never met him. I met him like in passing, but like later in the tour, we had just like we're a friendly band, so we're like, why don't we just give like we sent merch to like every band on the tour. Like got their sizes and then just sent merch to like their dressing rooms and just like, hey, like stoked to be here with you guys. Here's some stuff. But that whole thing came from the fact that in our heads, like we're like, yeah, Cornell's shit and Linkin Park shit, maybe it's probably just going to go to their crew and like whatever, but it's the gesture. And then that day he wore the shirt on stage, and I think all of us wept while watching him. We would go like at least three of us every day and watch Chris Cornell. And it was,
yeah, it was your routine on that tour. Every night you went and watched them.
Yeah. Magic.
Yeah. Are the photos of Chris Cornell in this Atreyu t-shirt?
There is proof.
There is proof. Right.
I'm going to have a Google after this and have a look now. I'll just be chuffed for you. But yeah, it's funny you should say, like, you had that, like, Linkin Park makes you want to feel, you know, makes you want to be better. Because I had something similar. My old band played the Project Revolution tour when they did it in Munich. And weirdly enough, NERD were on the tour.
Sick.
And yeah, they were.
That makes
sense. Yeah, unbelievable. Two drummers.
Oh, it
does. Two drummers. Didn't need one of them. They were unbelievable, right? So I was standing in our dressing room. Our dressing room was next to theirs. And they came off stage and Pharrell walked past. And I was like, I'm not allowed to talk to him. I've been told not to talk to him. But fuck it. Whatever. I'm from South Wales. This is going to happen now. Yeah. Imagine Jay. Well, Jay was there. Anyway, I'll get to Jay in it now. So Pharrell walks past. And me being the typical boy from South Wales, I was like, oh, good gig, I was. Nice one. Good gig. And he was like, he stopped and he went, what, really? I was like, yeah, that was fucking unbelievable. Like, you're the ultimate party band. That you were fucking... he was like, I didn't think anybody from your rock, you know, from your world, the rock world or whatever. He was like, I didn't think you'd be into it. And I was like, are you fucking serious? That was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So we were sitting down. It was me and the other singer in my band at the time. And he came and just sat between us, Pharrell did, and just started chatting to us about, he was recording some artist at the time who was like a rapper, but he wanted to sound like Nine Inch Nails and all this stuff. And I was like, well, this is bonkers. I wasn't expecting Pharrell to even know Nine Inch Nails were.
Yeah.
And then, and then Jay was standing behind him, full tracksuit as always, going, look at his watch. Look at his watch. And I looked at Pharrell's watch and he had a G-Shock watch on, just covered in diamonds. And Jay was like, I want that watch.
The situation. He's like, the watch.
I'm like, Jay's Pharrell. And he's like, yeah, but look at this. Look at the time. But Pharrell made me want to be, from that moment on as well, I think I changed as a person. Because I was like, well, if Pharrell can talk to me, and, you know, no one to slap me in the face and be a prick to me. Why, you know, I should never, ever, ever.
The reality
think I'm
is.
I'm above anyone.
Who the fuck are you, or who the fuck am I, or who the fuck are any of us? Like, all of us wake up in the morning and fucking shit the same way. Like, when I get a cold, I'm a snotty mess and it sucks like a baby, just like everyone else in the world. Like, fucking spicy food gives me the shits. Just like everyone else in the fucking world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who the fuck are we? Just because we do something that people think is good.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, we should be even more grateful that they enjoy it and that we can live in houses and live this fucking cool life that we live. You know what I mean? Because someone likes what I do. You know? Like, there's no room for douchebaggery here. It's not the 70s.
That was the idea behind In Our Wake, the album and the song, especially. Like, I wanted to write a song that captured the feeling and the idea that, like, every day we have a chance to be a person that uplifts and encourages and helps the people around us grow and leaves that interaction with us feeling that the way that you felt from Pharrell or me from Chester or whatever. Or you can be a shithead, you know what I mean? Like, and when you choose the path of being just a good human being and respectful and kind and inspiring and uplifting, you don't know how that's going to affect the world around you, the people around you, their communities, their families. It goes like a ripple across this earth in ways that we can't even comprehend. And it's so easy to just be like, thank you, cashier person at the grocery store, for your help today. And they're like, oh, me?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you helped me a lot. Thank you for bagging these groceries for me, you know what I mean, or whatever it is, you know. And it's so important and it's so easy, and it, like, you know, you're still sitting here talking about that one interaction with Pharrell and he has no recollection of it. You know,
not at all. Not at
it meant
all
a lot to you.
Yeah.
And it's important, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope he doesn't have a recollection of it, because I bet he's fucking terrified.
What if he was like, what if he was like, yo, so I'm sitting there talking to these really fucking nice dudes, and this guy behind me, I could hear him whispering, "The watch, the watch." And I thought I was gonna get robbed, but like, he didn't rob me. I don't know. Yeah. That's what he remembers.
Oh, that would be so good. Yeah, he ended up inviting me to a show that they did in London. Oh, and imagine if he had texted me going, "Don't bring your brother. Yeah. Don't bring your brother. You can come to the show. Guy, yeah, you can come to the show, but yeah, don't bring the fella in the camo tracksuit pointing at my watch." But yeah, like you said, like that ripple effect. Like, it made me nicer. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I've been nicer to people who might have come and gone, "Oh, well, Sean was surprisingly nice, despite how he brings himself across online. Sean's actually turned out quite nice." And then, yeah. Pharrell doesn't know. He probably doesn't remember me. But yeah, he doesn't even know that he's caused that, which caused me to do that. Which
yeah
it's just, it's crazy, innit? It's crazy. But that's,
it's fun to think about.
Yeah,
wonderful thing.
Yeah. Any other stories of like meeting heroes? Not humans, because we've all done that. There's loads of them. They're everywhere. Yeah, meeting like really big heroes. Or
one of the other ones that sticks out was when we played with Maiden, and Nico and the bass player of Maiden also were watching us, like watching the second show that we played. And as we walked off stage, we're like, fuck, like, first of all, like, they're just standing there. Like, they didn't walk off when we were done. They're just still standing there, like, as we're walking off. And if you've ever heard about playing with Maiden or played with Maiden, you know it's horrifying. Like, Maiden fans mm-hmm. care about Maiden. He literally has scars from being hit with like a big pin in the face.
Right here.
We like, yeah. So we have probably had like, I don't know, $200 in fucking Mexican coin tossed on stage. But you're in a stadium with what, 60,000 people, 40,000 people. We get off and they're like, "Hey, I just want you to know," they're like, "First of all, great show." And they're like, "We want you to know that, like, just want you to know that, like, we requested you to be here. Like, we wanted you to play this show." And I know that might've been rough, but they're like, "You finished your set," which is more than a lot of Maiden openers can say. "So, like, just wanted you to know that, like, great job." And we're like, "Oh, like,
I didn't know that."
Yes. And then you think it's a disaster. And then you realize that, like, all the merch you brought is gone and everything sold. And then you realize that maybe there's like a couple thousand people that loved you, but they don't matter in a sea of 40,000. But like, that was fucking cool. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to watch. He didn't have to do nothing. And it was Steve Harris. I don't know why I blanked his name earlier, Steve Harris. But it was like, okay, you're in fucking Iron Maiden. You're in the biggest metal band to ever exist, essentially.
You know? Yeah. That's mad, isn't it?
And I'm lucky to have, like, I feel a lot of people that like artists or bands that I've met, most of them that I'm actually like friends with. I mean, that's why I'm friends of being friends with them, is that they're just fucking cool people. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, they're just regular, real people.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Fun. These stories have been absolutely beautiful, gentlemen. So thank you so much. But with all that as well, obviously now, you know, new music on the way, you've got the live stream Carry the Fire of Two Nights coming soon as well, I think. But what else can we expect from Atreyu for the rest of 2020 and heading into 21 now? Is it just getting everything finalized for this record and more surprises along the way?
Yeah, we're finalizing everything for the record. Obviously, that's, you know, that'll be wrapping hopefully soon. Pretty much all of our energy right now is going into the live streams, into Carry the Fire. It's the first time we've ever done something like this. We've never been a band that did much of like the live stream stuff at all, even like shows. We just never did it. So we're super excited. But that's where all of our attention is going right now. It's definitely going to be the most gnarly thing we can possibly do. And just like the staging and the lighting and everything, there's so many details. So that's pretty much where our heads are at until that happens, or those happen rather. And then we kind of will enjoy the holidays and spark up again next year. It's my hope that obviously nothing's changing in the world anytime soon, but at least now we can continue to provide our little relief to people, you know? So we're excited. We're definitely really excited, as we've said before. I don't know if you could tell yet by this interview, but we're very excited.
So yeah, one word to wrap up how Atreyu's feeling.
Horny. Oh, excited.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. So yeah, if everybody just goes to atreyuofficial.com, you can get tickets for the stream, which is on November the 20th.
I'll get them even more direct. Go to atreyumerch.com. Atreyuofficial will just take you to Atreyu merch, but atreyumerch.com, or look at any of our socials. November 20th, December 4th, we're doing what we're calling a greatest hit set. It's our most popular songs according to the fans. And then night two will be Lead Sales Paper Anchor, front to back, never been played like that before. A lot of the songs have never been played, period. It's going to be fucking great. I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for the music over the years.
Yes.
Yes, you've made many a club night fun for me. Yeah, thank you very much for everything. And yeah, let's hopefully we can get to do one of these in person. And maybe instead of Morgan, we'll have Jay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He can be here as well. Why you don't have to replace me? No,
we can have a sixth. It's a goal.
Yeah. No, we can't.
The couch is too small.
Yeah. I was going to do, yeah, the brother's grim or the brother's chin. He would probably be here. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, boys. Thank you.
Thanks for y'all's time.
Tidy. Thank you so much for the boys from Atreyu returning for their own episode of Sapden Podcast. What a band, some incredible stories, and they really love your brother.
Yes. Well, someone's got to, because nobody in my family does anymore. You never hear this, so it's fine. We all had a meeting last week when my family got together. And we decided, because it's coming up to Christmas now, every year we oust somebody from our family into the
really?
Wild. Yeah, so it looks like Jay's time is up. So he's probably going to be homeless or out. If you are walking around the woods in South Wales, be very careful over the next couple of months, because my brother Jay might be out and about foraging for food.
All right, well, two things from that. I reckon he'd be able to sell people stuff because he's good at selling merch. So he might survive. He might find some rubbish and get people to sell it. And secondly, how do you determine who gets voted off? Like, is it like a survivor, like you all vote someone off the island kind of scenario?
No, it's spin a bottle.
Fair, that works too. But yeah, some great tidbits in there with a conversation from Atreyu. John Feldman always gets a bloody mention on this stuff now. I mean,
I reckon we do a new thing, right, where we see if we can, next episode, I don't know who it is yet, whoever next episode is, we gotta see if we can go an all episode without mentioning John Feldman.
It would be, because a change,
at the moment, this is turning into Feldmanin with Sean Smith. And unbelievable. It just goes to prove how awesome, I guess, he is as a producer and as a person, that all these bands just constantly want to keep going to him. So
yeah,
nice one again, John.
Yeah, nice one, Feldy. Go back to episode 99 if you haven't listened to John appearing on the podcast. And don't forget, not only is Atreyu's brand new single Save Us available everywhere now, but the band have that 2-day live stream event available on their website, atreyumerch.com, where you can watch back their greatest hits live stream in the comfort of your own living room right now and get excited for December 4th's Lead Sales Paper Anchor happening next week. So get ready, atreyumerch.com, for all of that. I'm very excited to see what comes next with the band and more new music.
Yes, definitely. I think Raiders and Atreyu should tour together in the UK at some point, so I'd like that. So thanks again to Atreyu. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, thank you very much.
please let us know. If it's your first time listening to the podcast, please get in touch with us at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram at SAPPENINPOD and let us know that this was your first ever time listening to the podcast and let us know what we could do better. I know the answer is going to be talking clearly and having questions and items ready to talk about also, Sean. But guess what? That's not how it works. But yeah, if you listen to this for the first time and you've enjoyed it, check out all the other 104 episodes because there's definitely some other people there you will definitely 100% like because we have done some fantastic chat. Even if you've never heard of the band, I reckon if you listen to the chat, you like the person by the end of it because we haven't had a single dickhead on yet, have we really?
No.
Except me.
No, I've enjoyed all the conversations. I mean, it's just interesting hearing people's stories and getting their behind the scenes insights into everything. That's why we do it. We love it. And we really appreciate all your support. So give us a follow, Twitter and Instagram at Sapnin Pod, like Sean said. And if you're a regular listener and you haven't checked out our Patreon yet, we strongly advise you should, because it's a bit cheeky, isn't it, really? I mean, you get these for free.
Stop being a fucking grifter. Yeah. If you've listened to over 50 episodes of this now, right, you owe me and Morgan some fucking money, right? So make sure you go to patreon.com/Sapnin and pay your dues. Because if you've listened to over 50 episodes, that's free. Think how long that is, right? How long's an album, your standard album? Tops an hour, right? Yeah. Nowhere near an hour, but tops an hour. We put out an album every fucking week for people, right? And they listen every week, some of them, right? And they haven't paid a penny. And then they'll go online and complain then when their favourite band is splitting up because they can't afford to be a band anymore. But yet here we are, smashing out the content for 105 weeks so far. Are you listening to loads of them and you haven't given us a penny? You want to be a bloody ashamed of yourself.
that's the best Patreon plug I think you've ever done, so well done for that,
bastards. I'm sick of these freeloading twats. Give me some of that money that you owe me.
That's patreon.com/sapnin. Everyone in there's lovely, so I mean, meet some new friends, why not?
Anyone is welcome.
But yeah, while we're at it as well, just want to say a massive thank you to every single person involved so far in our Patreon community. If you head over to the description of this episode, there's loads of names that we thank. We want to give a massive, gigantic shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community. They're the top tiers and probably change their name as they do every week to something stupid so Sean can read out and have a laugh about the two of us. So what's
right,
it going to be?
Right, I just want.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Say, see you later to all our regular listeners. And yeah, here we go then, Patreon bastards. Let's have a look. Thank you very much to the amazing Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liu away, Mitch Perry, Sarah, top half fish James. Yeah, that makes sense. She does look like a fish, the top half. Janelle, top half fish Caston, again agreed. Oof. Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Nathan Croshaw. Morgan wants to fight Sean Smith, Mortal Kombat style. Morgan would lose. Liam Connolly, Michael Engler, Scooby Drew styles. Paul, bottom half fish, Titwanks for the win, Urshfield. Thank you very much to Kelly Owen, Kat Besant, Amadine Urbana, Tony Michael, Morgan wants to fight Matt Riddlebro, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, who doesn't listen to this, Scott Bottomar Fish Jones, Sukal My Nooples, Bert, thank you very much for coming back, Ollie Top R Fish Amesbury, Simon Amos, Jodie Shannon, Jenny the Shark Shooter Munster, Kate Stevenson, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Dana Lasnova, Martina McManus, Kelly Mallory, Erin Auer, John and Emma, Becky Andy, Marty Jacobson, Louis Cook, Jason Heredia, Nuala Clark, Jenny Robinson, Sandra Kuacek, Mike Cunningham, Kelly Cannon, Kevin Clark, Sir Cumsize.
Ah. Oh.
James McNaught, Livy Cropper, Tallulah Grant, Stuart, Mark Andrews, Matt Atard, and Simon Martin McNaught. I don't know why he's put the names of the band Junior in the middle of his name, but he have. Sharif Awadali, Lydia Anderson, Craig Top Our Fish It Is, Aris, Adam Parslow, Julia, Unnecessary V's, and Zed's Ravitch. Thank you very much. Correct. Alice Has Floppy Wood, Cristiano Ronaldo, and last by no means least, Keris Andrews. We should just clear up, for anybody who is still listening, who wasn't part of the Zoom call, one of the questions we got asked was, would you rather have sex with a mermaid, but would you rather top half be a fish or bottom half be a fish?
Yeah, and we had a lengthy discussion.
How you could find out the result of that is go to patreon.com/sapnin, where the video is up now.
Yes.
Give us the money that you haven't given us, that you've listened to all of the other episodes for. Anyway, yes, thank you very much to all of those people, to everybody in the Patreon. Go to the description of this podcast to see more names and more absolutely beautiful bastards who help us make this podcast and survive every week. Thank you very much to all of those guys. You are absolutely fucking super.
Yes, you are. You're some of our favourite people, and the messages everyone sent in over the last week have just filled our emo hearts with delight. I've cried many times because of it over the last 7 days, but then I also cried because I couldn't find a pair of tracksuit bottoms as well. So take that with what you will. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thanks again to Atreo. Thanks to Sean. And I guess we'll see you next week, unless there's anything else you want to say, Sean.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, let's see you next week, unless we all die.
Well, yeah, there's that, but I'd like to be a bit optimistic. Right.
If you're listening to this now, try not to die by next week.
Yes, please.
If you do, well, you can't let us know, really. Anyway,
Sapnin!
I don't know what I went on by there.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.